ಪಾನೇ ಜುಹ್ವತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಂ ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಪಾನಂ ತಥಾ ಪರೇ
ಅಪಾನೇ ಜುಹ್ವತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಂ ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಪಾನಂ ತಥಾ ಪರೇ ಅಪಾನೇ ಜುಹ್ವತಿ ಪ್ರಾಣಂ ಪ್ರಾಣೇ ಪಾನಂ ತಥಾ ಪರೇ
ಪ್ರಾಣಾಪಾನ ಗತಿ ರುದ್ವಾ
ಪ್ರಾಣಾಪಾನ ಗತಿ ರುದ್ವಾ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಪಾನ ಗತಿ ರುದ್ವಾ
ಪ್ರಾಣಾಯಾಮ ಪರಾಯಣಾಃ ರುದ್ವಾ ಪ್ರಾಣಾಯಾಮ ಪರಾಯಣಾಃ
ಪ್ರಾಣಾಪಾನ ಗತಿ ರುದ್ವಾ.
ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದ ಪ್ರೀವಿಯಸ್ ಶ್ಲೋಕ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾಯಿಂಟೆಡ್ ಔಟ್ ಫೈವ್ ಯಜ್ಞಾಸ್, ದ್ರವ್ಯಯಜ್ಞ ಇಸ್ ಚಾರಿಟಿ, ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ತಪೋಯಜ್ಞ ರೆಫರ್ಸ್ ಟು ಆಸ್ಟರಿಟೀಸ್, ಯೋಗಯಜ್ಞ ಇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಯೋಗಾಭ್ಯಾಸ, ಅಂಡ್ ಸ್ವಾಧ್ಯಾಯ ಯಜ್ಞ ಸ್ಟಡಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಪಾರಾಯಣ ಆಫ್ ಸ್ಕ್ರಿಪ್ಚರ್ಸ್, ಅಂಡ್ ಜ್ಞಾನಯಜ್ಞ ಅನಲೈಸಿಂಗ್ ದ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಅದರ್ ದ್ಯಾನ್ ವೇದಾಂತ. ಸೊ ಆಲ್ ದೋಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಬಿನ್ ಆಲ್ರೆಡಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ ಬೈ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಅಂಡ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ದ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಪ್ರಾಕ್ಟೀಸ್ ದಮ್? ಯತಯಃ, ಯತಯಃ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದೋಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಕಮಿಟೆಡ್, ಹೂ ಆರ್ ಸಿನ್ಸಿಯರ್ seekers, those are the people, they practice them. And how do they do that? Samshita Vrataha, they are all people with firm resolve and commitment and conviction. They don't just do it because they do it one day, tomorrow they don't do that, they do it forever, because it is a very very firm conviction on their part, right? So that's what they do. So yatayaha samshita vrataha, they have made such a conviction and they are the people who practice them. And now in this shloka, Krishna is now emphasizing another sadhana called pranayama. Pranayama is emphasized here. Even though in the previous shloka, yoga yajna refers to also pranayama, because in the yoga yajna we gave the Patanjali's yoga darshana, various yogas. But in the Ashtanga yoga, this one, that was also emphasized. But here, pranayama is mentioned separately because of its importance. Even though it was included there, it is separately mentioned here because of its importance, one of the most important sadhanas. Both asana and pranayama are supposed to be extremely good for one's health. Asana is one of the yogas, pranayama is another. Both of them are supposed to be very good for anybody's health. Actually, they are getting very, very popular these days. Actually, all these yoga asana, there are so many Christ yoga. There is a Christ yoga also. I don't know what is Christ yoga. So, really a lot of philosophy activity and all those things, they are all linked with our philosophy, our own purpose of life. But today, you know, those things are all gone. People don't look at those philosophies and all. They use it mostly as an exercise, as something related to your health and bodybuilding and all that. So, you know, for example, these are all even more required today, because those days they were all built in day-to-day life. When you do sandhyavandana karma, you do so many asanas, you do so much of pranayama, you do so many namaskaras. They are all part of it. They don't have to do separately another exercise. You know, they don't have to buy a treadmill and then walk on that. All those things are not needed. But today we have to need all those things, so you have to go to yoga class. Because we travel by car, most of the time we sit. So there is less activity for the muscles and all the, you know, all the limbs. So it's a problem. So even for eating, you know, it's another thing also. We do not sit down. You know, sitting down on the floor is an asana. But we don't sit down on the floor at all, because there is a chair available now and the table is also very close by. So you can. So for many of us, sitting down is only in perhaps in our Veda classes and Vedanta classes. Most time we sit only on chair. So the muscles are never used. Not only physically we are inactive, our food habits, they are also getting worse. Eating most of the junk food only most of the time. They only are appealing to us. Most of the junk food, ice creams, chocolate, potato chips, they are the things which we like most of the time. And breathing air, the air we breathe, we have to pay. So we are, you know, the dirtiest of airs we are, you know, breathing, we have recirculated air in the house. We have a filter, I don't know when we change them, but it's all recirculated air. Even the water that we drink, the water that comes in the sink is the recycled water. That the water that you have been using it is recycled and then brought back again to your sink and then we drink. So everything that has become a problem today, because our habits are all like that. So all over the world, it is said now that if a person's health has to be reasonably good, he requires yoga. So now that has become a big revelation that you have to have yoga if the health has to be maintained. So simple asana and a little bit of breathing, even that is good enough to help people. So when you sit straight. Normally we sit like this and all that thing. When you are able to sit straight, that's a good asana. Very difficult to maintain. And also have a uniform and nice breathing. We don't have to do all that big breathing exercises. So even these are good. So pranayama, actually pranayama, if you really take as a yoga, it's a very complicated science. There are a lot of intricacies involved in regular pranayama. It requires actually a guru. You don't want to do pranayama yourself, because you should know how to really control your breath. So you need a guru to practice it, for who practice for a long time, and he can teach you. So still advanced people, they go even to Kundalini Yoga. It's another Kundalini. People want to say all these nice words because they think by that, by using these big words, they are all very tough things to do. So simple breathing exercise for today itself is enough. It's a very healthy habit. But we want simple deep breathing, good inhalation, good exhalation. That's all we want. We want to control that in such a manner that we are comfortable and it is healthy to us. That's all we want. So that itself will keep the system in excellent condition. A simple breathing exercise will keep us in excellent condition. So asana and pranayama, even from health point of view, are going to be very, very important. And from the spiritual standpoint also, they are supposed to be very good. Because even the psychiatrist, whomsoever you psychiatrist, when the person goes to you with a lot of problems, what he tells you first? Take a deep breath. 10 times, have a deep breath. 5 times. And you pay him $500 an hour. He will tell you 5 times, take deep breath. That's all. So when you are breathing in, we think that we are breathing in happiness. When you breathe out worries. So you think like that. Each time you breathe in happiness, breathe in. Breathe out worries. Breathe in happiness. Breathe out worries. Breathe in happiness. This is how mind has to be taught. Once you think like that, even any deep breath that you take in, you breathe the fresh air outside. You go outside and breathe in fresh air. Breathe out all the worries, anxiety, anything that you don't want. Breathe it out. So cough it out, like breathe it out. So that you can do that. So when you are breathing in, you breathe in happiness. Then you breathe out all anxiety. So breathe in fullness. Lungs be full. So breathe in fullness. Fullness. And then, so this is what you do. So in our tradition, we want this to come from, these are all built in our day-to-day practice, in our tradition. They made it a habit. But somebody, if they tell, then, oh, that doctor is very nice. He made me do this. So that's what he tell. So whether it is a physical health or mental or spiritual health, the asana and pranayama were considered to be very, very useful in day-to-day life. So Krishna suggests here pranayama as a sadhana in this particular shloka. And here we have to understand what are the elements of pranayama. Pranayama involves inhalation. Inhalation, you breathe in inhalation, so breathing in. That is called puraka. Puraka pranayama, you breathe in. So filling up the lungs with fresh air is puraka. You inhale. Then you exhale. Exhale is breathing out, and that is emptying the lungs. That is called rechakam. So purakam filling in, rechakam filling out. So rik, actually rik runati means to empty. Is to empty. You empty the lungs. So emptying the lungs of all the carbon dioxide and all the impure air, and you throw them out. And then kumbhakam is retention. Retention of the air that you breathe in. Retaining the air like a kumbham. Kumbham is a kalasha. Like that you breathe in the air and fill the lungs with fresh air and keep it filled. Retain it for some time. And actually in kumbhaka there are some variations. In one type of this thing, it is called antakumbaha. Antakumbaha means you retain the air that you breathe in and keep it there for some time. Whatever air you breathe in, retain there for some time and then breathe it out. That is called antakumbaha. And the second one is called bahya kumbaha, where you retain after exhalation. So the lung is empty. In one case, lung is full. In the other case, lung is empty. So these are our two different types of kumbhakam also. They are being practiced. So if we know that, you know, these are all there, that's enough. We don't have to practice any pranayama here. That is not the class. But we have to know that these things are there. So even though the pranayama has got 3 components, that is what are these? Purakam, rechakam and kumbhakam. A person can specialize in one particular aspect alone. He can practice on Puraka Pranayama alone all the time. That means he will breathe in with lot of restriction and lot of, you know, this thing, procedure. And when he breathes out, he will breathe out suddenly. Completely he will empty out quickly without having taking any time and without anything. That is Puraka Pranayama. Some people might breathe in heavily, fill the lungs and gradually release it, and that is Rechaka Pranayama. Some people will concentrate on Kumbhaka Pranayama. So depending on whatever one wants to specialize on, one wants to concentrate on, they can do any of them under supervision. After somebody teaches you how to do that. So when the emphasis is on retention, it is called Kumbhaka Pranayama. Okay? So even the Pranayama is one. Based on the emphasis, it can be divided into Puraka Pranayama, Rechaka Pranayama, or Kumbhaka Pranayama. And in the first quarter of this, why I am telling all this? Krishna is telling me. In the first quarter of this sloka, we get the first type of pranayama. He says, Apane Juhvati Pranam. Apane Juhvati Pranam. It refers to Puraka Pranayama. Puraka Pranayama means breathe in. So you are concentrating on breathing in. So Puraka Pranayama. So what is happening here in Puraka Pranayama? In this, the air is breathed inside, and when we breathe in Sanskrit, the air that is breathed inside is called apana or inhalation. Apana vayuhu. When you breathe in. Okay? Even though in a different context, when we did Tattva Bodha, you know, in that Tattva Bodha, apana refers to the excretory system. That is excretory system. So we have said apana means refers to the excretory system, that is exhalation. Here in this context, apana refers to the puraka pranayama, breathing air. So in the context of apana, here means inhale the air here. Okay? And pranam refers to exhalation. Apana is inhalation, prana is exhalation. Even though again in Tattva Bodha, prana means the whole respiratory system. Even in the context, prana means here exhalation. So when do you do Puraka Pranayama? What really happens when you do that? When you do Puraka Pranayama, the apanam is going inside. The air that is breathed in, that is going inside. So apana is active. Because that is one that is going inside, active. And prana or exhalation is not at all active. Because when you breathe in, only what is breathing in is active. Breathing out is not at all active. Because that's not happening at all. You cannot breathe in and breathe out at the same time. So only breathing in is active, breathing out is not active. So in Puraka Pranayama, apana, the inhalation air, that alone is active. And prana, the exhalation, is not active as if it is destroyed. See, now we have to have in everything, it's an yajna. Then you have to have a fire, you have to have an oblation, something has to be consumed. We have to remember that model. Right? Here in this model, what is being active? The Puraka Pranayama is active. What is destroyed is the apana, which is not the apana is active, the prana is not active because that is exhalation, right? So we say in the apana fire what? In the inhalation fire, the exhalation oblation, the exhalation breathing that is offered as an yajna. So that is how the yajna concept comes. So apane means in inhalation, pranam, the exhalation, juhvati, is offered. Right? So this is the yajna concept here. So what will be the actual final meaning here? Exhalation is restrained by the practice of inhalation. So exhalation is restrained by the practice of inhalations. So that is how it's an yajna. So now the next part is what? Making it the other way around. Right? Now we concentrated on inhalation. Now we are going to concentrate on exhalation now. So prane apanam tatapare. That's the next one. Prane refers to the rechaka pranayama. So first one we talked about the puraka pranayama. Now we are talking about the rechaka pranayama. So in rechaka pranayama, the inhalation is offered into the fire of exhalation. Right? Same thing reversed. So because of the practice of exhalation, inhalation does not exist. Because when you exhale the air out, you cannot inhale, so exhalation is not there, inhalation is not there, so inhalation or apana is as if it is destroyed as it were. So prane means in the exhalation, apanam is the inhalation, juhvati is offered. Okay, the same. Now what is the third? Prana apana gati rudva. Pranapana Gati Rudva. By restraining both the exhalation and inhalation, Pranagati and Apanagati. Both exhalation and inhalation. Rudva means having restrained. Having restrained both the Pranagati and Apanagati. Having restrained both of them. Then we have to supply here. Some people practice Kumbhaka Pranayama. We have to supply. It is not told by Krishna here. So we have to supply. So Vasupuraka Pranayama was told. Then Rechaka Pranayama is told. Now we have to supply Kumbhaka Pranayama. Even though Krishna doesn't say it explicitly. So in Kumbhaka Pranayama, what is the fire and what is the oblation again? We have to again imagine. When Kumbhaka is done, both Prana and Apana, they do not function. Right? You are retaining now. You don't breathe, you don't exhale. You are retaining. So both of them are not functioning. Only retention is being done. Then when they are not functioning, it is as if they are destroyed. Okay? They are consumed. So both Prana and Apana, they become the oblation and Kumbhaka becomes the fire. So in the Agni of Kumbhaka, both Prana and Apana are offered as Ahuti and it is consumed. Right? So in the fire of Kumbhaka, they offer both the Prana and Apana. They mean some practitioners, some seekers, some practitioners of this yoga, they offer this. And so it becomes another Yajna also. So Kumbhaka Pranayama is another Yajna. So whatever may be the practice, whether it is Puraka Pranayama or Kumbhaka Pranayama or Rechaka Pranayama, all these people who practice these things are called what? Pranayama Parayanaha. Pranayama Parayanaha is the name Krishna gives them. They are all specialists. They are all specialists in Pranayama. They have practiced Pranayama very well. So Pranayama was given as another type of sadhana. Another type of sadhana. So we do accept pranayama also as a spiritual sadhana. See, pranayama as a physical sadhana we all know. Right? There's no, because we are trying to do pranayama, all the yoga schools, everything. As a spiritual sadhana, many people practice pranayama as a material sadhana, physical, no problem. As a spiritual sadhana, because people prescribe it for curing a lot of diseases. You have this problem, you have that problem, you do this kind of exercise, yoga practice, they do all that. Doing pranayama in so many means, there are so many ways of doing pranayama also. They practice, give all those prescriptions based on whatever complaint you have as a solution. They give all these things. So when it is practiced with an aim to spiritually progress also, then alone it becomes spiritual sadhana. Otherwise pranayama is a mere exercise only, physical exercise. Only when it is done with an aim as a spiritual, for a spiritual progress, then it is called spiritual sadhana. Okay? So, otherwise it is not spiritual. Now, that is why pranayama, when it is included in sandhyavandana, then that is for spiritual progress. Why? It is called the sagarbha pranayama. So, now we got puraka pranayama, rechaka pranayama, kumbhaka pranayama. But when you do it in sandhyavandana karma, that becomes sagarbha pranayama. Why? Because you are reciting mantras along with that. So when you recite mantras along with doing this breathing exercise, then it becomes sagarbha pranayama. That becomes a spiritual exercise. Om bhu, om bhuvaha, om svaha. You recite all these mantras. You recite the Gayatri mantra. You recite, when you do this thing, then that becomes a spiritual sadhana, not just only a physical sadhana. So this mantra also is recited as a pranayama, as pranayama is done, so that the practice will not be just a material practice, it will be a spiritual practice. So pranayama is given not for physical health here. Krishna is not mentioning pranayama not just for physical. Physical health is a byproduct. In our tradition, every sadhana is aimed at only spiritual progress. But physical health becomes a byproduct in most of them. In most of them, physical health becomes a byproduct. When you follow those sadhanas, when you follow those practices, you also keep a good health because it is inbuilt in the way those practices are done. So physical health becomes a byproduct. It is not the goal. We never emphasized on physical health as a goal. Only spiritual health only as a goal. Physical health is only a byproduct. So every puja involves pranayama as a spiritual sadhana. Whatever puja you do, anything you do, pranayama is part of it. So that it becomes a spiritual sadhana. Apare niyataharaha.
Apare niyataharaha. Apare niyataharaha.
Pranan praneshu juhvati.
Pranan.
అపరే నియతాహారా ప్రాణాం ప్రాణేషు జుహ్వతి. యజ్ఞక్షపితకల్మషాః శ్లోకం. ది ఫస్ట్ లైన్ కృష్ణ గివ్స్ వన్ మోర్ సాధన విచ్ ఇస్ ఆహార నియమ. ఆహార నియమ మీన్స్ డిసిప్లిన్ ఇన్ ఈటింగ్. ఆహార ఫుడ్, సో డిసిప్లిన్ ఇన్ ఈటింగ్. అబౌట్ ఈటింగ్ మోర్ హీస్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ లేటర్ ఇన్ ది 6th చాప్టర్. హీస్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ దేర్ మోడరేషన్ ఇన్ ఈటింగ్, యుక్త ఆహార విహారస్య. హీస్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ ఆల్ దిస్ దేర్. అండ్ అగైన్ ఇన్ ది 17th చాప్టర్ హీస్ గోయింగ్ టు క్లాసిఫై ఫుడ్ ఇన్ టు సాత్విక్ ఫుడ్, రాజసిక్ ఫుడ్, తామసిక్ ఫుడ్. ఆల్ దోస్ థింగ్స్ ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు కమ్ లేటర్. ఈవెన్ దో హియర్, ఈవెన్ దో దే ఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు బి డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ లేటర్ ఇన్ డీటెయిల్, హియర్ హీ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు టాక్ అబౌట్ డిసిప్లిన్ ఇన్ టేకింగ్ ఫుడ్. సో ఈవెన్ ఇన్ ఈటింగ్, ఈటింగ్ ఈస్ ఎ మోస్ట్ మెటీరియలిస్టిక్ థింగ్, ఫండమెంటల్ థింగ్, రైట్? యూ హ్యావ్ టు ఈట్ టు లివ్. యూ హ్యావ్ టు లివ్ టు ఈట్ ఆర్ ఈట్ టు లివ్. So even in eating, which is the most materialistic job, it has a spiritual connection. It has a spiritual connection. Many people may wonder, why should we club eating habit and spirituality? Eating is for pleasure. You just eat for your requirement. You need food to live. Of course, you eat it also for pleasure. So why should you relate spirituality with eating? There is no need at all, right? So the Hindus have some strange way of thinking. So our scriptures, they talk about all the time what type of food you should eat. Always they tell you what type of food you should eat. We should give importance to that also, what type of food we eat. But we should remember that some people want to give importance to that only all the time. That is the problem. They want to give importance to what type of food we eat, but it should not be the primary importance all the time, right? In this shloka, Krishna does not talk about the type of food. He is going to talk about later. When he talks about sattvic, rajasic and tamasic food, he will talk about type of food later at that time. But now he is only talking about the quantity. Right now, we should not eat too much, not like a glutton. Cannot just stuff your stomach, you know. You should not do it. It should be sufficient to maintain the body. Yes, body should be maintained, so you need enough to maintain the body. So it's not like a gluttonous habit. So how do we know it is too much? How do we know how much food is too much food, right? Actually, for that also they have given a rule. Our scriptures are really very, very, very nice in all this. They have given a rule for that. Purayet ashanena ardham. So stomach should be only half filled with food. You should not fill it to the brim. My wife used to say, if you open your mouth, you know, a crow may come and peck on that, because food is up to here. So purayet ashanena ardham, stomach should be filled only half, right? Never eat full. Then tritiyam udakenatu, then other quarter you fill it with water. So you need that much water. So 2/4 food, 1/4 water. Vayoho sancharnarthaya, for the vayu, for the air to circulate, you leave another quarter. So that is how one should eat food. So half filled only stomach with respect to food, and then another quarter with water, another quarter for the air. So it will get mixed up very well, and all that thing, digestion becomes easy, all that thing. So vayoho sancharanarthaya chaturtham aveshesheyed, that is how the 4th quarter has to be filled. Okay. Now suppose we ask, how do we know whether it is half full? Because that question may be, my half may be different from your half. How do I know it is half full? Right? So one yogi, he said, when you sit down on the floor, you know, people, how much they have analyzed this eating. We think it is so trivial, it is not. So they have told, when you sit on the floor and eat, when your stomach is half full, then you will not be able to bend and get the food from the leaf. That is an indication I have. You sit on the floor, so you have got the kalapata, whatever it is, and all the food is served there, so you cannot bend when it is more than half full. So once you know that I am not able to bend, I am able to bend only with difficulty, stop. That means it is already half full. But problem today is what? When you sit on the table, and the mouth and the leaf are very close. Mouth and the plate, not mouth and the plate are very, very close. So you are sitting straight now, no problem. And the mouth is very near to the plate also. We do not bend. So what do? We fill up through here. You will never know it is full. Right? So that's what happens. So this is why they always told you should sit on the floor and eat. Even though it is all comfortable with all the chairs and tables, this is another good reason. Otherwise, people have to try by trial and error. When is half full, when is three quarters full. One day you eat 10 idlis, another day 5 idlis, another day 7 idlis. You optimize and which day is half full you find out. That is another way of doing. But the best judge is what? After eating, there should not be discomfort. Right? That is the other way. You may have a comfortable food to eat, but after eating, it will be so discomfortable you don't want to eat anymore. So that should be, a comfort should be the actual metric by which you can decide how much you can eat. Otherwise it will be like a python. A python will eat and after several months it cannot move. It will just stay in one place. It cannot do anything else. So the discomfort of hunger, that can be removed perhaps by eating, but you should not have any discomfort of eating after eating. So Krishna here talks about disciplined eating. Disciplined eating. When eating is associated with spirituality, along with dieting, some sadhana is there. So that is how they prescribe when it is linked with spirituality. Like upavasa on an ekadashi day. When ekadashi day, you have upavasa. So for Ishvara Dhyanam, on that day, what is the primary importance? Ishvara Dhyanam is the primary importance. Or parayanam, or study, you do whatever it is, you know, do all those things. Those days, you know, they read ekadashi mahatmyam. They will, in Padma Purana Mandala, they are all given here, they will read all these things. They will do Vishnu Sahasrana Parayanam, Achidra Parayanam, all that thing they do on Ekadashi days. So, that upavasam then becomes a spiritual sadhana. See, you do upavasam on an Ekadashi day, right? You cannot say any day I do upavasam is Ekadashi. No. Upavasam is to be done on Ekadashi day. You cannot say Sunday is convenient for me because I am home, no problem, no work need to be done. So, I can do Ekadashi, it doesn't work. Sunday also, if you want, you can practice upavasam, doesn't matter, but Ekadashi is on that day only. On that day, you got to do upavasam, not other days. Okay? So, such a sadhana that is pointed out here is called Ahara Niyama. In this shloka, Ahara Niyama. Apare Niyataharaha. Some people pursue Ahara Niyama, discipline in Ahara. They are called Niyata Aharaha. Those people who practice this discipline in Ahara. Okay. They are practicing this as an yajna. Ahara Niyama as an yajna. So, Ahara Niyama also is a symbolic yajna. That's what Krishna is teaching here. It is also a symbolic yajna. Then what is, here also then if it is an yajna, you should know what is offered into what. What is the fire? What is oblation? What is offered into what? We should know. Krishna says, pranan praneshu jukvati. Very interesting thing. Pranan praneshu jukvati. Prana stands for what? The Pancha Pranas. Prana, Apana, Vyana, Udana, Samana. They represent what? 5 physiological functions. We have seen this earlier. They all represent 5 physiological functions. So Prana stands for Pancha Prana. And Praneshu Jukhvati. Prana, Praneshu Jukhvati. What is the second Prana? It is also again Pancha Pranas. So Pancha Pranas are offered into Pancha Pranas. Doesn't make any sense to me, right? Pancha Pranas are offered into Pancha Pranas. That's what Krishna says. So it should make sense. Only I don't understand, right? So how we can say Pancha Pranas are offered into Pancha Pranas? Then we have to supply. Those greedy Pancha Pranas who ask for more and more food, which has no discipline at all, which feels like eating all the 24 hours, if not anything to eat, at least they will chew gum. Nothing else to eat. Everything is consumed. Some mouth has to be punching something. So that indiscipline, that is indisciplined prana. That indisciplined pancha prana, such a prana is offered into disciplined prana. So the first prana is indisciplined pancha prana. The second prana is pranan praneshu. Pranan refers to indisciplined prana. Praneshu refers to the disciplined prana. So just as the oblation is replaced by the Agni here. So pranan, praneshu, jukvati. So this is how Krishna described. So the indisciplined prana offered into disciplined prana in the ahara. So with this, the last yajna is also over. Now Krishna wants to conclude this topic by glorifying jnana yajna. So he has described so many yajnas. Dravya yajna was described, so many things were described here. But finally he glorifies only jnana yajna as the supreme most yajna. Actually in the second line he also concludes before that, sarvepi yete yajna vidaha. Yajna vidaha means practice these yajnas. Those people who practice normally, yajna vidaha means the people who understand, who know the meaning. That's what it normally would mean. But all these people who follow or who practice these yajnas, that is yajnam vindati anutishtati iti yajna vidaha. So if a person, some people who practice these yajnas, all those people, they just don't know it. They practice this yajna because yajna vidaha, it has another meaning. Those people who know yajna is yajna vidaha. Who know. Know alone is not adequate. They have to practice it. We can know a lot of things. I know how to bike. But when I sit on the bike, only people know whether I really know biking or not. Right? So this yajna vidaha means those people who practice. So by knowing these yajnas, we do not get any benefit at all. I know what is moderation of diet. I know all the time. All the time I know what is moderate diet. I can give a lecture on that for 1 hour to everybody. But do I practice it myself? That is the question, right? So mere knowledge, I will not get the benefit. But when I know pranayama also, I may not get the benefit. Only when I practice it, I get the benefit, right? So yajna vidaha means those people who know and practice this niyama. Yajna vidaha refers to not just only who knows and who practice. So all these people who practice one or more of these yajnas, Krishna listed so many yajnas, right? One or more of these yajnas, like Dravya yajna, all those things, Tapa yajna, all of them become what? Yajna kshapita kalmashaha bhavanti. Yajna kshapita kalmashaha. They all become purified of all sins. Kalmasham means papam, sin. Kalmasham. Kshapita means destroyed. Destroyed of all their sins, all their papams. So all their sins, all their papams are destroyed by one yajna or more yajnas. When they practice this yajna, their sins are destroyed. That means these yajnas refer to what? They refer to chitta shuddhi. They give rise to purity of mind. Sins are destroyed means what? They get purer and purer in mind. Right? So the when you talk about Shuddhi, what do we really mean by Shuddhi? The Shuddhi can be Shuddhi purity. It can be, you know, extended at all levels, you know, Shuddhi. Shuddhi will be there in the physical body. Of course, when you do a lot of these things, you know, you follow those anushtanas, you take bath, you know, clean, all that thing. So physical body, which is more a material benefit. When you clean the body, physical cleanliness is a material benefit, it's a byproduct. When you do these things, physical body, cleanliness of the physical body is a must. So it is a byproduct. It will be healthy. That's true. After all, you know, ill health is when, what is ill health? When unwanted things are there in the physical body, it is ill health. When there is a toxin in the body, it is ill health. So what foreign materials in the body? Ill health. So ill health is actually whatever is not required by the body, whatever is not wanted by the body, when they are present, then it is called ill health. Similarly, they talk about Shuddhi at the Pranamaya Kosha level also. So, at the Annamaya Kosha level, what is Shuddhi? When all these impurities are there in the body, it is not clean. That is, purity should be there. That is Annamaya Kosha level, at the body level. And now at the Pranamaya Kosha level, again you talk about purity. Yoga, Yajna, Pranayama, all those things you do. So, even the Pranamaya Kosha can be, you know, it gets purified when you do these things. Right? Pranamaya can. So, you can... So pranamaya leads to nadi shuddhi. They call it what is known as the nadi. They, you know, it keeps those things pure. All the nadis in the body, they are all supposed to be several hundreds or thousands of nadis in the body. They all get purified. So in the Yoga Shastra, they describe so many various bandhas, mudras, all those things they describe in the yogas. So they all refer to give rise to this nadi shuddhi they give. Pranayama, it gives nadi shuddhi. But they are all what? Byproducts. They are, if you use it only for that purpose, then it is not a spiritual sadhana. You use it, you do it as a spiritual sadhana, then those becomes byproduct. But the main shuddhi is what? Not these physical things, but antakarna shuddhi. At the internal level. What is antakarna? It's internal equipment. Internal equipment is what? Mind, buddhi, chitta, ahankara. All these four I mentioned earlier. So these are called antakaranas, inner equipments. They should be purified. So the antakarana becoming free from unwanted vikshepa. All this agitation, anxiety, wavering. All these things are all vikshepas. And being ragadvesha problem all the time is there. So the mind has to be ridden of all these problems, which is the main shuddhi that we want. So our aim is to get this purity. The other purities become byproducts. They become incidental. So when you aim at this, they also happen. So when the aim is to clear up this when you want to get this shuddhi, other becomes. So you become free from raga, you become free from dvesha, you become vikshepa, all those things you get rid of when you do this process. And again, we should remember that each type of yajna purifies the mind one way or the other. Whatever yajna, Krishna, dravya yajna, tapo yajna, all those yajnas. Each yajna, when it is practiced, it purifies the mind one way or the other. How? For example, in charity. In charity, what happens? You want to give something to somebody. You earned something in a hard way, and you are willing to share what you have earned to somebody. Right? So, in this process, what is being destroyed? Greed is destroyed. Right? So greed is destroyed, you become purified of greed. Greed as an Atma Shatru. Because when greed is there, it doesn't allow you to progress spiritually. So it is a Shatru. So you get rid of greed by sharing what you have earned in charity to somebody else. So greed of the mind, like the idea of sharing, the sacrifice, all those things, that increases. So it expands the mind. Instead of thinking of me only as me, my wife, my children and all that thing within my four walls, I expand outside and be empathetic with those people who are less fortunate and try to share whatever I have with them. So if I have two, I will give one to them readily without trying to hoard both of them for only myself. Not only I want to enjoy, whenever I have, I want to share with others. So that is the main ingredient in charity. So, every yajna is capable of removing one evil or the other. There are so many things. So they purify at the mental level also. Because when you give charity to somebody, there is a physical transaction. I give something to somebody. Right? So, there is a physical transaction. But in the process, in the mind, the element of greed is gone. So, it purifies. So, they purify at the mental level. So, Krishna says, yajna kshapita kalmashaha. They become physically and mentally purified. Okay. Then what will this purification lead to? Because that should be the next question, right? Okay, purified. Mind is pure. But so what? What that will lead to? What will I get out? What will I get out of this? When this mind is purified, what is the benefit I am going to get out of this? That's the next question. Will I get a promotion? Will I get a grade? No. What is the benefit of Chitta Shuddhi at all? We are not talking about any of those things. Krishna is going to tell that actually in the next shloka, what is the benefit of getting Chitta Shuddhi by practicing all these yajnas. Yajna Siddha Amrita Bhujo. Yanti Brahma Sanatanam. Yajna Siddha Amrita Bhujo. Yanti Brahma Sanatanam.
Yajna Siddha Amrita Bhujo. Yanti Brahma Sanatanam. Yajna Siddha Amrita Bhujo. Yanti Brahma Sanatanam.
Nayam Lokosya Yajnasya.
Nayam Lokosya Yajnasya. Nayam Lokosya Yajnasya.
Utonya Kuru Sattama.
Utonya Kuru Sattama. Utonya Kuru Sattama.
Nayam lokosya yajnasya kutonya kuru sattama.
Nayam lokosya yajnasya kutonya kuru sattama. Nayam lokosya yajnasya kutonya kuru sattama.
So all these people who practice one yajna or the other, described earlier, they are all given a new name here by Krishna. They are all called Yajna Shishtamrita Bhujaha. Yajna Shishtamrita Bhujaha. That is the name Krishna gives to all these people who are practicing one yajna or the other, which was described just now. So Yajna Shishtam. Yajna Shishtam means whatever is left over after the performance of an yajna. Yajna Shishtam refers to whatever is remaining, whatever is left over after the performance of an yajna. That is the literal meaning, Yajna Shishtam. So we can also call it by another name, Yajna Prasadaha. It can be Yajna Shishtam or Yajna Prasada. Right? Okay. But the meaning of this word, actually we have to understand it very carefully, because it depends on the type of yajna that you perform. We described so many yajnas, dravya yajna, tapo yajna, all that we described. So depending on whatever yajna you perform, we have to understand the yajna system correctly. Yajna system or yajna prasadam, whatever is left over, right? Okay, for example, if you do charity, we give something to somebody, charity we do. So what is yajna system in charity? I give something to somebody. And I give some $10 to somebody, let us say, so to some guy. What is Yajna Shishta there? Yajna Shishta, it should be interpreted as differently there. After sharing with other people, whatever I have, whatever is left with me, that is Yajna Shishta. I had $100, I give $20 to somebody, $80 is Yajna Shishta for me. Because I am willing to share whatever my earning, I am willing to offer it as an ahuti, to quench whatever is this requirement of the other person, what is remaining is Yajna Shishtam. So that $80 that is remaining with me, that becomes Yajna Shishtam. So now, you performed an yajna. You had $100. You performed an yajna by offering $20 to a poor person. And the remaining money that you have is what? Prasadam of the Lord. It is Yajna Prasadam. So you don't deal with that money as just some money. It is Yajna Prasadam, which is remaining out of a noble act. Right? That is what we should view. Now, will we use that money for anything which is not worthy of? It is Yajna Prasadam. So we will now treat it reverentially. We will treat it with care. We will give it to more people perhaps who deserve it more. I won't use that money to go and do this and that. Right? So, video game is included, don't worry. So that's what we will do. So it becomes Yajna Shishtam, right? Yajna Prasad. Previously, that amount was only money. It was not Prasada anymore, it was just money and not Yajna Shishtam. Now it is Yajna Prasadam, it is Yajna Shishtam, right? That is how our tradition teaches us. Even in act of charity, even simple things in day-to-day life. That is why when there is a beggar, you know, he is really, you know, in India, you see all these beggars in temples and all. There may be a leper or something with all the hands. He may not be even able to hold the money that you give. You just throw a coin to him. And that he will struggle to pick it up. Is it charity? It is arrogance. You cannot do like that. Even though for that person, it might satisfy his square meal for that time. But how have you given them? It is not yajna anymore. It is arrogance. It is going to cause only problems to you. You are not going to get punya out of that. It is not a meritorious act. It is an act of disgust. It is an act of disrespect. So we cannot even do that. So this is Yajna Shishtam. So, okay, this is with respect to charity. Now I go to work. I take up a nice project and do work for the benefit of my company, family, whatever it is. I do whatever it is. Then the karma phalam, that becomes Yajna Shishtam. So you have to refer and understand Yajna Shishtam differently. So I do a project, and in that project, whatever nice things come, that karma phalam becomes Yajna Shishtam. And if it is food that I am eating, if I eat the food after offering to the Lord as naivedya, first I offer to the Lord and then take it, then the food that I eat becomes Yajna Shishtam. Because I didn't eat the food myself, I offered it to the Lord first, and having offered to the Lord, that becomes the prasadam, and I eat it, that is Yajna Shishtam or Yajna Prasadam. Offering the Lord to the food to the Lord is Yajna. And consuming the food after offering to the Lord, that becomes Yajna Prasadam. So in short, what is that? After the performance of any yajna, whatever may be the yajna, performance any of them, whatever I take becomes yajna-sishta. So you don't take anything before doing an yajna. See, that is implied. If you want to take food at home, that is why they had this practice. They will open the door, come out and see, is there anybody to take food outside? They will ask. It will register. These days, they will close the door and eat. But they will come out and they will ask. Actually, how to what level they have gone. Actually, there is the people who are doing their program, they understand. They know Apastamba Sutra. There is Apastamba Sutra. When you do Abhivadi, you say, right? Apastamba Sutra. That Apastamba is the Rishi, name of a Rishi. And how that name came to him, Apastamba, you know, that is very, very strange. This person, he goes early morning to the river to take a bath and all. Then he will do his anushtanas, come home, he will do pujas and all, and then he will eat. And every day before he eats, he will also ask whether somebody is there to eat food outside and all, then take him to eat. So that day morning he went to the river to take his bath and then do his anushtana. And what he saw there? There was a guy, a papi, was trying to kill a cow. So on the river, by the river, he is seeing a guy who is killing a cow. So this guy, this Rishi was so sad that he had to see a thing like that. So he recited all kinds of suttas and all to purify himself, took a bath and all. With that heavy heart, he is coming home. So he does all his pujas and routinely and all. So about 10 o'clock, then wife is now putting the banana leaf for him to eat. So he goes out, he calls out whether there is anybody to eat. Who is there? The same papi is there. The guy who was killing the cow, he is standing there outside. Yes, I am there. I am ready to eat. So you know, you have to bring him. He is now what? He is Aditi. So you have to now bring him in. So he said, told his wife, so this papi has come. Now I cannot do anything now. I have to give him food and only eat. So what we will do? You put the banana leaf for him in the next room. I don't want to sit with him and eat. So let him sit there. He is a papi. So let him sit there. You know, serve him. So I will also eat here. Then she put the leaf there and he ate. He sat here. That guy said, no. How I can eat separately and you eat separately? We have to eat together. So I will come and sit with you and eat. So he also put his leaf next to him and sat. What can he do now? Cannot do anything. He doesn't. If he takes food along with him, then he will have the pankti dosha. You cannot see those days. People will not go and eat food in a pankti, in public and all. They won't eat. Because all these, our elders, in our own families, they would have been there. We may not know. Your grandfather, great-grandfather, they would not eat in pankti. Because in the pankti, who sits and who eats, we don't know. What kind of person, you don't know. So they don't want to get that dosha. So they will not eat in those. They will say, outside I don't eat food at all. I eat food only in my home. And even there, they don't want to eat food cooked by somebody else. They will say, I will only swayam pakki. I will make only my own food and eat. So they are the extreme. So this person came there and sat to eat. So what will you do now? You have to separate. You cannot have the pankti dosha because you are sitting with this guy and eating. So what he did, he took water and put a line between those two people. He put a line. So he put a stamba. Stamba means stick. He put a stamba between them. So he is called apaha is water. So he used water to make that stamba that would separate him from that other guy before he would eat food. So he is called apastamba. Right? So these are all. The rishis have put, in the scriptures, all these things are there. See, that dharma of feeding that atithi cannot be compromised. You have to give him. But having said that, how you can do it without compromising the shastras, you have to follow certain practices. So, for everything, there is always a way how to deal with it. So, he created that particular practice of doing, taking food. It's called apastama. So, those people who follow his tradition, who came in his school, they are called apastama. Who follow that thing. Okay. So this is yajna, yajna kshapita kalmashah. So they become mentally and physically they are purified. So all these things they are all purified by these people. So after the performance of the yajna, whatever I take, it becomes yajna sishtam or yajna prasadam, whether it is in the form of karma palam or leftover as prasadam. That is why this is another thing also. You know, the soma yajna. The Soma Yajna, they normally do a Soma Yajna. The Soma Yajna, there is a Soma creeper. And it is grown only in some places. Actually, now in the Tanjore district, some places it grows. And they bring the Soma creeper very ceremoniously for this Yajna. It is brought in a chariot and all that thing. It's a very, very ceremoniously they bring. And then with that juice, soma juice, they offer the oblation to the fire. And whatever is offered, something will be remaining, a very small amount. That they have to take. They have to take it as prasadam. The soma juice, after offering to the fire, whatever is remaining, I have seen the somayas. Very small amount will be there. That they have to take it as prasadam. So what all the people said, these Brahmins are all drunkards. They are taking soma juice after doing this yajna, right? So people don't understand all these things. So they make all these, you know, statements. But I have seen in soma yajnas, it's a very, very small amount that they are supposed to share. It is a juice from the creeper. It's a nice creeper. So they put out. So these are called, the according to the context, we have to understand what is yajna system or yajna prasada means. Okay, that's what, so it will vary depending on whatever yajna one is performing. And if it is yoga asana, if it is, see, we saw all the material things, if it is a yoga asana, then I don't take anything in the morning, I do yoga asanas, I do pranayama, that asana, this asana, all that I do, and then I take my breakfast, right? I don't do anything in the morning, and then I take the breakfast, then the breakfast becomes yajna shishta. So breakfast becomes, is not just food, it is prasadam now, yajna prasadam. Because you performed an yajna, and then this is taken after that, which would have otherwise taken without that. So that becomes an yajna shishta. So the meaning will be, after the performance of any yajna or any yaga, the shishta kale grihitam. Whatever you take, shishta kale. Whatever is remaining, that you take. So this is going to be called amritam. This is not just only yajna prasadam, this is called amritam, because the benefit is going to be much more. It is not just ordinary benefit, the benefit is going to be much more. When we take food after proper exercise, after proper yoga, whatever it is, asanas, all that thing, then it is, what normally is said, the digestive power increases when you do a physical exercise. And then you consume food, the digestive power increases, so it becomes, that food becomes amritam. When you are very thirsty, extremely thirsty, at that time you drink water, what do you say? Oh, looks like amritam, right? Same thing, when you are very hungry, you take food, it may be normally same yoga rice, everyday yoga rice, nothing different, but that will look like amritam, because you are very hungry, you did exercise and all, it becomes amritam. Otherwise, what will happen? Indigestion. Though whatever the food becomes, not amritam, it becomes a problem now, right? It would have been an amritam if the proper exercise was done, the body is healthy, otherwise it becomes poisonous, right? So, yajna shishta, it can be interpreted according to the context. We should understand clearly this sloka. So, for that person, the yajna system becomes amritam, it becomes yajna prasada. And again, why it is called amritam, Krishna is going to say later, that such a person will get chitta shuddhi. This is not amritam in the taste part of it. This amritam is what? Permanent. It gives nectar. It will give moksha. So it will give chitta shuddhi. So chitta shuddhi, once he gets, what will happen? Once mind becomes pure, that person will get interested in jnana marga. He will try to get, you know, he will get to know about moksha. Moksha sadhanas. So this person will be interested in that. He will study the scriptures and he will get Atma Jnanam sometime or the other. So this becomes a requirement for him to gain Atma Jnanam at some point or the other. And so he will get Amritam Brahma. This person will get Amritam Brahma. So it is called Amritam. Right? Amritam Brahma. So since the yajna system is going to lead to immortality, it is called Amritam. Through Chitta Shuddhi, not directly, through Chitta Shuddhi, then through Jnana Yoga, he will gain Jnanam, and finally he will get Moksha. So, Amrita Karanatvat Amritam. Because it is Amrita Karanatvat, it is the Karanam for getting Amritam. So, karma, any action, when performed properly, can lead to Moksha. That's what we say. And karma, when it is done with a proper attitude, that can lead to Moksha. When properly performed, it can lead to moksha. When it is not properly performed, it can be poisonous. It may not lead to moksha. It can destroy one's life. Similarly, food also, everything also. So such people who perform the yajna, they are called యజ్ఞశిష్ట అమృత భుజః. భుజః మీన్స్ తోపు పార్టే వుడ్ కన్స్యూమ్ హోటే. సో దిస్ ఆర్ ఆర్ పీపుల్ హూ ఆర్ యజ్ఞశిష్ట భుజః. సో హూ పార్టేక్ దిస్ అమృత విచ్ కెన్ రిసల్ట్ దే గెట్ అండ్ వాట్ విల్ దే గెట్ వెన్ దే డూ దిస్ సనాతనం బ్రహ్మ యాంతి. సనాతనం బ్రహ్మ యాంతి దే అటైన్ ది ఎటర్నల్ బ్రహ్మన్. సనాతనం బ్రహ్మ ది ఎటర్నల్ బ్రహ్మన్ దే గెట్ ది అటైన్ ఎటర్నల్ బ్రహ్మన్ గ్రాజువలీ. యూ షుడ్ అండర్స్టాండ్ దాట్ ఇట్స్ నాట్ ఇమీడియట్లీ, దే విల్ అటైన్ ఇట్ గ్రాజువలీ. ఇట్ ఆల్ డిపెండ్స్ ఆన్ వాట్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞ దే ఆర్ డూయింగ్. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ బ్రహ్మ యజ్ఞ దెన్ ది మే అటైన్ ఇమ్మార్టాలిటీ డైరెక్ట్లీ బికాస్ ఇట్ బ్రహ్మ యజ్ఞ. దర్ ఇస్ నథింగ్ ఎల్స్. ఇట్స్ ఆల్రెడీ జ్ఞాన యోగ ద బ్రహ్మ యజ్ఞ. సో దే కెన్ డూ ఇట్, దే కెన్ గెట్ ఇట్ డైరెక్ట్లీ. ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎనీ అదర్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞ లైక్ ఆల్ ది ద్రవ్య యజ్ఞ తపయజ్ఞ ఆల్ దోస్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ యజ్ఞాస్ దే విల్ హ్యావ్ టు కమ్ టు బ్రహ్మ యజ్ఞ అల్టిమేట్లీ. సో దే విల్ బి కమింగ్ టు బ్రహ్మ యజ్ఞ అల్టిమేట్లీ అండ్ లేటర్ దే విల్ గెయిన్ అమృతం బ్రహ్మ. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ ఇన్డైరెక్ట్లీ ఫార్ దోస్ పీపుల్. సో ది యజ్ఞాస్ లీడ్ టు బ్రహ్మన్ ఏదర్ డైరెక్ట్లీ ఆర్ ఇన్డైరెక్ట్లీ యాజ్ ద కేస్ మే బి. ఓకే సో సనాతనం బ్రహ్మ యాంతి యాంతి దే అటైన్. వెరస్ దోస్ హూ డూ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ద ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ యజ్ఞ, ఈ కృష్ణ ఈస్ గోయింగ్ టు బి వెరీ హార్ష్ నౌ. దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ హ్యావ్ నో ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ యజ్ఞ దే ఆర్ వెరీ హ్యాపీ విత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ కమ్స్ హీ పుట్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ రైట్ దాట్ డూ ఎనీథింగ్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్. దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ డూ నాట్ పర్ఫార్మ్ ఎనీ యజ్ఞ హీ కండమ్స్ దమ్ అవుట్ రైట్. హీ సేస్ అయజ్ఞస్య అయం లోక నాస్తి. అయజ్ఞస్య అయజ్ఞస్య మీన్స్ వాట్ వన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఈవెన్ వన్ యజ్ఞ. అయజ్ఞస్య వన్ హూ డస్ నాట్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఈవెన్ వన్ యజ్ఞ అట్లీస్ట్ ఆహార నియమా షుడ్ బి దేర్. ఈవెన్ ఇఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ దేర్ ఫర్ సమ్ ఎక్స్క్యూజ్ ఫర్ ఆల్ అదర్ యజ్ఞాస్ యూ మే గివ్ దిస్ ఎక్స్క్యూజ్ ఆర్ దాట్ ఎక్స్క్యూజ్ ఐ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ టైమ్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్ నార్మల్లీ పీపుల్ గివ్ ఎక్స్క్యూజ్ నో ప్రాబ్లమ్. బట్ అట్లీస్ట్ ఆహార నియమా క్యాన్ బి దర్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఫుడ్ యూ ఈట్. ఇఫ్ యూ డోంట్ హ్యావ్ ఆహార నియమా ఇఫ్ అ పర్సన్ డస్ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఈవెన్ దాట్ అయజ్ఞస్య పురుషస్య అయం లోక నాస్తి దర్ ఇస్ నో హ్యాపీనెస్ ఎవర్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఫార్ దోస్ పీపుల్ హూ డూ నాట్ హ్యావ్ ఈవెన్ దిస్ సింపుల్ యజ్ఞ దర్ ఇస్ నో హ్యాపీనెస్ అట్ ఆల్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ హీ కెనాట్ హ్యావ్ అ గుడ్ లైఫ్ అట్ ఆల్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్. కృష్ణ ఈస్ వెరీ స్ట్రాంగ్ ఇన్ కండమింగ్ దెమ్. హీ సేస్ దే కెన్ నెవర్ హ్యావ్ అ గుడ్ లైఫ్ అట్ ఆల్. First of all, what? He will get sick. That's number one. He will get sick. Physical purity is not there. So he will get sick. So when the purity of Annamaya Kosha itself is not there, right? That is physical purity. Where is the question of purity of Pranamaya and then Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, all those koshas, they cannot have purity at all. Right? Even Annamaya purity is not there. So Krishna condemns that such a person cannot enjoy even this world. I am Lokaha Nasti. You won't have. And therefore, kutaha anyaha kuru sattama. Kutaha anyaha. When this world itself is denied to them, when this world itself is not there, where is the question of getting to higher lokas after death? Even in this world he cannot be happy, then where is the question of his getting higher lokas after death? That is very, very, very remote. It is not at all possible. So when Bhurloka itself is not there, where is the question of Bhurloka and Suvarloka? All those things are not possible. Brahma Loka is very, very, very far off. They cannot get to Brahman, the Moksha, they cannot dream of. They cannot ever get those things at all. So the idea is what? Every individual must practice some yajna, some discipline. Yajna is discipline. It's not some yajna, you know, have a fire and put some ghee in that. No. Some discipline or other. Yes. Some discipline or the other, and ultimately come to Brahma Yajna. That's what they should do. That's what's going to be said hereafter. We will, can you hold on till we finish? Because the reason is then I have to stop the recorder and then start again. Then next sloka 32. Evam bahuvidha yajna.
Evam bahuvidha yajna. Evam bahuvidha yajna.
Vitata brahmano mukhe.
Vitata brahmano mukhe.
ఏవం బహువిధా యజ్ఞా వితతా బ్రహ్మణో ముఖే.
ఏవం బహువిధా యజ్ఞా వితతా బ్రహ్మణో ముఖే. ఏవం బహువిధా యజ్ఞా వితతా బ్రహ్మణో ముఖే.
కర్మజాన్ విద్దితాన్ సర్వాన్
కర్మజాన్ విద్దితాన్ సర్వాన్
ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷ್ಯಸೆ
ಏವಂ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷ್ಯಸೆ ಏವಂ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷ್ಯಸೆ
ಕರ್ಮಜಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿತಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ಏವಂ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷ್ಯಸೆ
ಕರ್ಮಜಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿತಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ಏವಂ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷ್ಯಸೆ ಕರ್ಮಜಾನ್ ವಿದ್ಧಿತಾನ್ ಸರ್ವಾನ್ ಏವಂ ಜ್ಞಾತ್ವಾ ವಿಮೋಕ್ಷ್ಯಸೆ
So Krishna here he says that all these yajñas that he described just now, they are all not his discovery at all. Krishna will disown it everywhere. It's not my discovery, not my making. Okay? All of them have been already mentioned in our Vedas. Vedas actually, scriptures talk about two things in our scriptures all the time. One is Ishti. Ishti is all this worship, going to temples, doing this puja, that puja, all those things. Next is Purtham. Purtham is all the social activities, building hospitals, building schools, orphanages, feeding the poor. They are so both of them have been equally emphasized all the time. Normally people think of religion means only this Ishti and all this worship alone. Both of them are equally emphasized in our scriptures. So Krishna says, these are all these yajñas, they are all not new, they are all already mentioned in the Vedas. So with the intention to revive the Vedic teaching, whatever is already there, just to revive this teaching, I have only reiterated the Vedic lifestyle here. It's not anything new that I have given, just only reiterate what is already given in the scriptures, nothing new about it. So he says, evam bahuvida yajna. Actually, only some of them have been mentioned here. There are bahuvida, there are a lot of yajnas are there, only some of them have been mentioned. It is not that these are the only yajnas that are there, there are still many more. Many more are there prescribed in the Vedas. Therefore, he says, evam. Evam means in this manner. In this manner, bahuvida yajna pitata. Very many types of yajnas. Bahuvida yajna. Very many types of yajnas are mentioned. Pitata. Because community service, annadanam, building schools, shelters, wells, all these things, they are all yajnas. Everything is yajna. Somebody does not only be doing worship all the time. They involve in all the social activities, yajnas. No problem at all. Normally people ask these questions to me. Oh, I don't have any time for all this religion. Will I not go to moksha? You will go to moksha also, no problem. You will get chitta shuddhi by doing those service. But what do? You do it as a service to what? To humanity, to the Lord, as something which is nishkama. Don't say that I did all the service, I should get that award. My name should be put there. No, you do it as a selfless service. With that attitude, this is, God has given me so much in this world. I have to at least return something back to the world. So I am doing this as a service. You do that with that attitude. That attitude is the most important. When you do that with that attitude, there is no need to do any of this yajnas. You do that alone, that's absolutely fine. It will give you chitta shuddhi. It will give you chitta shuddhi, not moksha yet. From Chitta Shuddhi, you have to go to Jnana Marga. So to get Chitta Shuddhi, whether you do religious rituals or whether you do social rituals, doesn't matter. You can always get Chitta Shuddhi. Once having gained Chitta Shuddhi, then you have to go through Jnana Marga to gain moksha, to understand who you are. Because that is the ultimate aim. So, Bahuvida Yajna Vitata. Many types of yajnas are mentioned. Okay. Such many yajnas are vitata. Strewn all over. Not just in one place. Strewn all over the place. It's all everywhere in the scriptures. So it's all over the entire scriptures, entire garment of day-to-day life, everything is mentioned in the Vedas. In the Karmakanda of the Vedas, actually, a lot of them. Vitataha Brahmanaha Mukhe. Here, Brahmanaha refers to Vedas, not the Satyam Jnanamanandam Brahma. This is Brahmanaha is Vedas. So Brahmanaha Mukhe means the Vedic book. Vedic book, the scriptures, the Vedas. So Arjuna, you have to practice them. They are all given in our scriptures. It is not my making. They are all in the scriptures. And he says, Karmajan Viddi Tan Sarvan. All the yajnas are born only out of actions. Karmajan. They are all born out of actions. By merely knowing, you will not get any benefit. They are all there. Okay. By knowing them, do I get any benefit? No. I have to practice them. Karmajaha means born out of action. Karmajaha. Except in the case of Brahmajnana. All of this are all Karmajnana. Brahmajnana alone, but there is no action involved. It's only jnana, knowledge. Okay. It's mere knowledge. But other than Brahmajnanam, everything involves some action or the other. So he says, Sarvan Tan Karmajan Vidhi. And therefore what? You have to know them and practice them. Not only you should know, you should practice them also. That is why they say, an ounce of practice is better than a pound of knowledge. Right? An ounce of practice. So Arjuna, do that. Practice them. Evam jnatva. Thus having known and practiced those ignas, vimokshyase, you will be liberated. You will be liberated. So, evam jnatva, tadanantaram, anushtaya. Not just jnatva, knowing alone, anushtaya, having practiced that also. Then you will get liberated. Having known these ignas and also practicing them, you will get liberated. That's what Krishna emphasizes again. Why one should practice all these ignas. Shreyan dravyamayat yajnat.
Shreyan dravyamayat yajnat. Shreyan dravyamayat yajnat.
Jnana yajna parantapa.
Jnana yajna parantapa. Jnana yajna parantapa.
Shreyan dravyamayat yajnat. Jnana yajna parantapa.
Shreyan dravyamayat yajnat. Jnana yajna parantapa. Shreyan dravyamayat yajnat. Jnana yajna parantapa.
Sarvam karma akhilam partha.
Sarvam karma akhilam partha. Sarvam karma akhilam partha.
Jnane parisamapyate.
Jnane parisamapyate. Jnane parisamapyate.
Sarvam karma akhilam partha. Jnane parisamapyate.
Sarvam karma akhilam partha. Jnane parisamapyate. Sarvam karma akhilam partha. Jnane parisamapyate.
Now this is the main shloka, for which purpose alone all the previous shlokas have been mentioned. All the previous yajnas, they were all mentioned. Just to only reiterate this particular shloka. This is glorification of Brahma Jnana Yajna. This shloka is the glorification of the Brahma Jnana Yajna. Right from shloka 25 onwards, Krishna has been enumerating all these yajnas. Shloka number 25 onwards, he has been reiterating so many of these yajnas, but he wanted to also emphasize that of all these yajnas, all the yajnas have been mentioned by him, of all of them, the final and the ultimate yajna is the Brahma Jnana Yajna. That is ultimate yajna. So he says, Jnana Yajnaha Shreya. That we have to supply. Jnana Yajnaha Shreya. Here Brahma Jnana Yajnaha is what we have to supply. Jnana Yajnaha is Brahma Jnana Yajna. Because other jnanam also is called Jnana Yajna. Physics jnanam is there, chemistry jnanam is there, mathematics jnanam is there. They are also jnanam only. But they are all other types of jnanam. Here we are talking about Brahma Jnanam only. Tarka, Mimamsa, Vyakarana, they are also other jnana. They are also knowledge, but here we are talking about Brahma Jnana only. It refers to Brahma Jnana. So, Yajnam, Yajnena, Jukvati. Actually, in the 25th shloka, we already saw that the Paravidya and Aparavidya, I mentioned briefly at that time. Paravidya refers to only Brahma Jnana. Aparavidya is all other vidyas. Whatever other things that you can, all other secular knowledge, including Sanskrit knowledge, any language knowledge, all those things, they are all aparavidya. This is paravidya. So it is a jnana yajna that is referred here, the paravidya. Okay. So in the 28th sloka, jnana yajna is also all other jnana yajna. That is aparavidya. 28th sloka, when Krishna talked about the jnana yajna, they are all the aparavidya, not the paravidya. Here Krishna is glorifying the one that was said in the 25th sloka. Yajnam, yajnena jukhvati, where the jivatma is offered. Remember that, yajna? The jivatma is offered into paramatma through knowledge. That is what is mentioned here. The offering of jivatma into paramatma through knowledge. Jnana yajnaha shreyam. Jnana yajnaha is superior, shreyam. To what? Dravyamayat yajnat. Jnana yajnam is superior to dravyamayat yajna, to all other yajnas which involve various materials, dravyam. Dravyamayat yajna. So all other yajnas which involve materials, compared to all of them, jnana yajna is superior most. And jnana yajna, does it involve any material? No material at all. So So a yajna without involving any material, that is the superior most yajna compared to all other material yajnas, whatever is most. But we should remember here, just because they say that jnana yajna is superior, one doesn't have to have other yajnas. Okay? Because jnana yajna is superior, so a lot of people will say, you know, okay, chairman is the ultimate person, so let me talk to him, no problem. So once he has cleared, you need all the clerks and head clerks and everybody to go to the chairman also. Because many places this is a problem, right? Oh, he blessed. He may bless. The file has to be moved by this clerk. Right? He may bless. It doesn't move anywhere. Okay? So all the other yajnas are needed here. Okay? They are also equally must. So in the performance of those yajnas, there is no choice. We have to understand that. In the jnana yajna, there is a choice. You may gain moksha, may not gain moksha. Right? But if you don't do other yajna, then it is going to cause you harm. If you don't follow ahara niyama, it is going to cause you harm. Right? So here in this jnana yajna, you are not getting moksha, but chitta shuddhi still will be there for those people. So the question will arise, if both are equally important, if jnana yajna and all other yajnas are equally important, how come jnana yajna is superior? You say both of them are equally important, then both are equal. Then how this can be superior? Then we have to understand here that all others are going to lead to moksha only indirectly by jnana. So ultimately they have to come to jnana only to go to moksha. So here you are already having jnana, so you are going to go gain moksha directly. So all others only will take you to moksha indirectly through jnana only. So in this way, jnana is superior. Not in any other way. Okay. So all other initial sadhanas, they become valid only when they are followed by jnana yoga to gain moksha. All the initial sadhanas are all valid only when you follow jnana yoga to gain knowledge. No, for example, you buy vegetables, you cook, you serve, all those things, they'll be proofful only when you eat the food. You bought nice, all the things you nicely bought, you cooked, everything is fine. Only when you eat, not until then you made the food, that's it. You didn't consume it. So we can say eating alone gave me the validity to all other actions, right? Eating alone gave me validity to all other actions, correct? So jnana yoga alone gives validity to all other karmas. Without jnana yoga, you cannot gain moksha. So if not, what will happen? Ajnana will continue. You may become a karma yogi, that's fine. But karma yogi still has ajnana. He doesn't know jnana yet. He doesn't have knowledge of himself yet. He is still an ajnani. That is what is said here in the second line. O partha sarvam akilam karma. Because all other karmas, referring to all yajnas, whatever yajnas he described, that you are all practicing, jnane parisamapyate. They all of them, they culminate in what? They get concluded, validated only in jnana. So all of the karmas, all of the yajnas, they culminate. They are getting validated only in jnanam. If jnanam does not come, all these yajnas are going to be futile to gain moksha. They will give you some benefit. Chitta shuddhi you will get. You will become a karma yogi. You will be a better person. You may get lot of punyas, but you won't get moksha. You will get lot of punyas. You will get better lokas. In the next birth, they may have a much comfortable life. All these things are all fine. But they won't gain moksha. So if jnana does not come, all these yajnas are going to be futile. So jnana yajna is superior. So that's the discussion, right? Why jnana yajna is superior if both of them are equally important? That is the discussion. So jnana yajna is superior. So the second line is the explanation actually for the first line. Since jnana yajna alone validates karma yajna, jnana yajna is superior. Okay. The same rule we should remember with respect to karma yoga and jnana yoga also. Right? Karma yoga is very important. You have to become a karma yogi. But that is not the end of it. It cannot give you moksha. So compare karma yoga. Without a karma yoga, can you go to jnana yoga directly? No. So you need that. But that alone will not give you moksha. So when we say jnana yoga is superior to karma yoga, it does not mean that karma yoga can be skipped. You have no choice. So to gain moksha, there is no choice in this path. A karmi has to become a karma yogi. Karma yogi has to pursue jnana, jnana marga. Jnana marga will ultimately give rest to jnana, jnana to moksha. Jnana is immediately moksha. Okay, that is that sequence can never be changed. Because as far as practice is concerned, both are equally important. That's all we are telling. But Jnana Yajna is superior. Karma Yoga without Jnana Yoga remains incomplete. Because he will not get moksha. And Jnana Yoga without Karma Yoga will not work at all. Otherwise, it will be incomplete. At least in this case, at least he will be a better person. But here, it won't work at all. So when we say superior, it is not with respect to the idea of choice. Can I have a choice between Jnana Yoga and Karma Yoga? No, no choice is given. Both are needed for gaining moksha. But it only means what? Jnana Yoga directly leads to moksha, whereas Karma Yoga indirectly leads to moksha. Karma Yoga helps only via Jnana Yoga. That is the only difference. So with this, the glorification of Jnanam is also over. Which Jnanam? He has talked actually before, earlier. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagrav, Brahmanagatam. That he has already talked about it there. So what is Jnanam? Sarvatra Brahma Darshanam. Looking at everything as Brahman. That is Brahma Darshanam. That is what he talked about there. Brahmagna. See that particular sloka, what? Brahmarpanam sloka. Sarvatra Brahma Darshanam. Look at everything as Brahman. Right? So that Jnanam is glorified here. Sarvatra Brahma Darshana Jnane Parisamapyate. Jnane Parisamapyate means Sarvatra Brahma Darshana Jnane Parisamapyate. Or the Jnana was put in another language also. What is that? What is that thing? Karmani Akarma Darshanam and Akarmani Karma Darshanam. We saw that thing also, right? That is the 18th sloka. What is the sloka? Karmanya Karmaya Pashyet. That is the sloka we saw, right? So later in the 24th sloka also we said Brahmarpanam Brahmahavihi. So that is the Jnanam Krishna talks about here. So those two slokas, they talk about the Brahma Jnanam. So it is not all other Jnanam, it is Brahma Jnanam that is talked about, and that Brahma Jnanam is glorified in this sloka. So in the next sloka, we are going to see the various upayas for doing this particular sadhana that we will see in the next class. Yo Veda Dhavu Swaram Prokto Vedante Cha Pratishthitah Tasya Prakriti Leenasya Yaparasa Maheshwara Shri Krishna Arpanamastu.